Ask yourself, why is it that you welcome his or her input? What causes you to trust their advice and be open to whatever it is that they might say? What about that person makes you feel like even their hard feedback will be useful and should be heard, should be received? Well, we have to believe that someone aims at our good. We need to know that they want the best for us. We can handle whatever someone has to say when we are convinced that he or she has our back, so to speak, wants to support us and is trying to bring about good things for us. When we know someone wants to help, then we have an immediate trust for what they bring to our lives. Now, what I want to do today is take a little dive into the life of Barnabas, both this morning and this evening. There's more that we could do with Barnabas, but we have two sermons together. So we'll do what we can. The question before us is about what it takes to be that sort of person whom people would want to have as a confidant. What does it mean for me to have the sort of character and demeanor that invites people to trust me and want my input? The Acts of the Apostles, this book, contains some truly epic accounts of, as Acts 1:1 says, what Jesus continued to do and to teach. If Luke was what he began to do and teach, Acts is about what he continued to do and teach as he worked from heaven through his appointed church officers. Now, our attention easily fixes upon Peter, who preached the first Christian sermon in Acts 2:14-41, and his ministry among Jews, particularly in Jerusalem. Or perhaps we find ourselves rapt by Paul's exploits as the apostle to the Gentiles, as he took the gospel into foreign terrain and hashes out how to bring the doctrine of justification by faith alone to bear upon those who were never before included among God's covenant people. And after all, in terms of the overall narrative, the people in the book of Acts, well, this book mainly revolves around those two figures. Why wouldn't they be kind of first in our sights? But over the years, I've come to appreciate another man who arguably lurks behind the scenes of this book, but nevertheless plays a pivotal role at profound moments. And I think he might be my favorite person in the book of Acts, besides Jesus. And that man was Joseph the Levite from Cyprus. Now, if that name strikes you as totally unfamiliar, it's because we know him more readily by his nickname, Barnabas. And throughout the rest of Scripture, he's known by that nickname. And Barnabas means son of encouragement. In introducing to us this man, Acts 4:36, make sure that we know that Barnabas's given name was Joseph the Levite from Cyprus. In other words, Joseph did not come to the name Barnabas by accident. He earned it. He earned the title Son of Encouragement. When we consider what happens surrounding Barnabas and his contributions, his example is worth considering for our own edification. I think it's profound in terms of what it brings to us about deep Christian character. And Barnabas's lessons come home more clearly if we sort of gather them. We're going to think about two instances rather than coming. I think it comes home with more force if we see them together rather than taking them as we go through the book of Acts. It brings them into close connection to show us something about him. We learn that Barnabas gives an example that should profoundly shape our life of discipleship. He ran in the apostles' company, and became an important figure at several critical events in the very early church. And the character traits that earned him his nickname indicate his reputation among the church that granted him the privilege to participate in all of these really important things. And he then points us toward how to live life in a way that is pleasing to Christ and that benefits Christ's church effectively. And these snapshots, these two snapshots today into Barnabas's life should show us how to be the sort of people who make contributions. Barnabas shows us how to be someone whom people trust and from whom they want our input. And my assumption is that it is good and noble to be an encourager. It is right and admirable to live in such a way as to be known for our commitment to encouragement. The main point for this series, because these two sermons can easily push against our natural impulses and inclinations. It can certainly run against our default settings if we do not make decisions about how to conduct ourselves. And Barnabas calls us to make conscious assessment of who we want to be and what it takes to be known that way. So our main point this morning is that encouragement includes supporting others. Encouragement includes supporting others. And the three points to help us think about this are status, support, and sacrifice. Let's think first together about status. Now, we read two back-to-back stretches of the book of Acts, and maybe or maybe you haven't considered them in relation to one another. I actually think we need them together to get the most out of them. One part was about the early church having all things in common to meet the needs of all believers. And one was about Ananias and Sapphira trying to deceive the church concerning how much money they contributed. Now, it might not be clear, just right off the top, how these two accounts hold together, especially concerning our focus on Barnabas. The connection between them is how drastically different Barnabas's approach was when we set him next to Ananias and Sapphira. After all, Barnabas, as well as Ananias and Sapphira, sold land that they owned and brought the proceeds to the church. The activity is of sorts the same. We have the same circumstances for both stories, but very different outcomes. And the first story, the first section, helps us understand why Ananias and Sapphira committed their sin that resulted in their deaths. In Acts 4, 32 to 37, the situation is the increasing blessing of Christians taking care of one another. Everyone is willing to give some of what they have so that everyone in the church has at least what they need. And the key example of this set in front of us is Barnabas. He sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money from that sale to the apostles so that it could be used for the care of the church's members and the church's needs. And within that setting, Barnabas came to some recognition for his servant's heart. By contrast, Ananias and Sapphira devised a plan to give to the church, but deceptively. Now, clearly, they lied about something, and Peter's question in verse 8 about how much the field cost suggests how they lied. Especially in light of Peter's statement in verse 4, it seems that the couple's sin, their sin wasn't that they didn't give all the profits of the sale. Because he said, look, that was your land. When you sold it, that was your money. You can do with it what you want. Rather, the problem here is that they gave the church part of the money while telling the apostles that they were giving them all the money. They wanted credit for doing more than they did. Have you known that person who makes it all about himself? He's always got that point to prove, wanting to come to the fore, an axe to grind, always needs to get his way and be recognized, however much they've done. Well, it's the same symptom as Ananias and Sapphira, isn't it? Tell you the story to increase his own cause, and it's not to benefit the church. It's a warning right here about being that kind of person. It's a warning about listening to that kind of person. Likely the motivation here is that they saw people appreciate Barnabas for his contributions. They wanted a piece of that action without making the same sort of personal sacrifices that he had made. Ananias and Sapphira wanted a status for doing good things, and Barnabas received a status by doing good things. Well, that brings us to our second point, support. What does this contrast that we've seen between, on the one hand, Barnabas, and on the other, Ananias and Sapphira, what does it teach us about the Christian life and the benefit of striving to be an encourager? As we continue to pull at things in this text, it points us immediately to some practical lessons. First we see that Barnabas strove to do encouraging things, but the liars strove to get just the reputation. They weren't really interested in making the contribution. They just wanted the reputation of making the contribution. No conversation is recorded here in Scripture around Barnabas's generosity. You can miss the event entirely if you've zoned out a little as you're reading that last little section of Acts 4. His gift that likely provided for lots and lots of needs is presented to us in a very understated way. On the other hand, Ananias and Sapphira's quest for recognition is on full display and results in them dying. Yet Barnabas comes away with a nickname that commends him to the whole church, even until today, as we know him by his spiritual contribution and the example that he set within the church's early life. What's the takeaway there? Questing for the recognition without the substance of a good reputation is a fruitless and faulty endeavor. If you want to be known for something without doing the things that would lead you to be known that way, well, it's deceptive, it's wrong, and it's empty, fruitless and faulty. For Ananias and Sapphira, it was even fatal. Now, I've known people over the years who tell me, you know, I need to ask for their expertise. I've known people who can insist that others listen to them in various matters. I've known people who strive for certain recognition and status. I've tended to find those people trying, difficult, and a drain on time and emotional energy. One of the things I try to keep in mind for myself is if I have to tell people that they need my insight, it might not be that good. If you have to tell people, look, the best thing you can do is listen to me, and you're really working hard to convince them. You know, I have to remind my wife all the time my jokes are hilarious. She just kind of forgets. But maybe there's a clue there for me. And the same can be true as we offer advice and push into people's lives. What does it mean to be the sort of person that people want to hear? You know, on the other hand, Barnabas just did the things that help. His question wasn't, how can I get the praise for helping? His question was, how can I help? And in trying to help, he wasn't trying to be noticed. And in that way, by trying to help without trying to be noticed, Barnabas got his reputation. And so Barnabas first teaches us to focus on making a contribution, not asking for credit for our contribution. If we strive for the name rather than striving to be helpful, we are likely to earn a bad name rather than a good one. And that sets up our second payoff. Because the second thing is that earning the name Son of Encouragement means supporting people. Now Barnabas, in this instance, did that financially. Finances might be part of the contribution we need to make. If we see someone in church who has a particular need and we give them a financial gift to help them along, it can be incredibly encouraging. That's certainly true. At several points in our marriage, Sarah and I have had someone, you know, give us just a kind gift that really meant the world, that someone noticed our need and thought to help even though it cost them. But I also don't want to limit our ways to support others to financial issues, and I don't even want to focus on that application. Rather, we need to see the principle that Barnabas recognized what the need in front of him was, the need that God's people had. It's not just, well, I don't know what the need is, but I'll give some money. He saw what the need was, and he did what he could to meet that need. That's actually the Barnabas principle as we get going. A lot of times, people need our support in other ways than financially. They may just need a friend. They may need a word of encouragement. They may need help in accomplishing a task or something like that. So our insight into how Barnabas came to have this nickname is how he came alongside others. He had their back. People knew that he wanted the best for them because he had demonstrated his support for them in a practical way. Barnabas shows us to look for practical ways to support our brothers and sisters, and Scripture commends him to us so that we would note his example as a thorough encourager. And Barnabas differed from Ananias and Sapphira in that he looked to contribute to others, and they wanted something from others. He had an outward focused heart. They had an inward one. Even as I give, what can I get? And he just said, how can I help? How much do we look to receive from others compared to how much we try to invest in others? So let us look for those ways to invest and to contribute, to support people around us in the church, and leave the recognition to God to handle. Well, that brings us to our final point, sacrifice. Barnabas's practical example gives us some lessons to consider, but also points us clearly to principles of the gospel. Tells us something about what we should see concerning the Lord Jesus. The Savior was less concerned about maintaining a reputation than he was concerned to support his people. After all, Jesus stepped down from glory and gave up his heavenly repute to step into humiliation. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53 verses 2 and 3, "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." That's about what God the Son, the eternal, co-equal in glory with Father and Spirit, second person of the Trinity, who has all majesty and wonder in himself, and he stepped into this. He came knowing that he would be despised and perceived as of no beauty or majesty. Why? Because Christ would support his people. And we should realize Christ would support his people in a greater way than anyone else has or will. Christ takes the principle that we saw in Barnabas to a supernatural level. Barnabas gave of himself and what he had to support God's people. It cost him to support fellow church members, and he gladly did it so that he could be an encouragement to them. And we might think, oh my goodness, how much did Barnabas give? What a generous giver. It's true. And yet Christ puts that sacrifice to shame. Because Christ did not give just of himself. He gave himself. Westminster Shorter Catechism 25 explains, "Christ executes the office of a priest in his once offering up himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God and in making continual intercession for us." Christ's support for his people meant giving his whole life, and not just the moment of his death. It meant that God the Son had to take on a human nature, take it on so that he could die for us. He gave up the majesty of heaven so that he could come under the law, not just to die in our place, but to live in our place. He came in our nature so that he might furnish the perfect record of righteousness so that God could let you into his kingdom. As God the Son, as God, had no need to obey anyone because God commands, doesn't obey. God the Son stepped into our nature so that he would be able to obey, because we owe God obedience. These are the things that open the gates, and then the things that would prevent us from entering. He died to cleanse us. He came down from heaven so that he could sacrifice his life in order to forgive your sin. The things that he already owned because he is God, he purchased again by his life, death, and resurrection, and then he gives them to you. And yet, all of the things that he laid down, he took them up again so that he would be able to pass them on to support his people. Christ is risen. The story is not just about his death. We proclaim Christ crucified, but we proclaim the risen Christ was crucified. He is risen and he rose to defeat death, not just for himself. He rose to defeat death on your behalf, so that death could never hold you either. The biggest support he will give you is as he gives you his hand and helps pull you from the grave. Christ has given all. He's done so for his people. We know that he has our back. We've seen it. He's our most trusted confidant. He is the one who has seen not just what reputation there is to have, but for the joy set before him, endured the cross so that he could support his people, support us all the way into everlasting life. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the Lord Jesus, for all that he is for us, for all that he has done to earn our entry into everlasting life with you. We are thankful that we know him in grace, that you've provided for us in him. What an encouragement we should have, knowing that we belong to Christ, our risen Savior, the one who is less concerned about reputation and more concerned about redemption. So, fill our hearts with joy. Make us delight in what it means to be a Christian. Help us to delight so much that we want to pass that delight on to our brothers and sisters, knowing that we can do so because of what our elder brother has passed on to us. Pray for this congregation. Would you bless them in all of their endeavors to serve your kingdom? Thankful for all the people who are here. Thankful for the leadership that they have. Thankful for Andy and the session, in all that they do and give to make this a place where the gospel prospers. Thankful for their wisdom, their kindness, their integrity. Make this place a beacon of grace, that the world may know who Christ is because of what they do. We pray it all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.